Come in with like a tweed jacket and stuff. I'm not wearing a dress shirt.
You're not even wearing fucking pants. Okay?
I'm wearing a dress shirt. What do I need to wear pants for? I'm good. Okay. Also, it's my favorite pair of underwear. It's got like a
cassette tape. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 questions.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Last time you told me you had 6 questions.
Yeah, no, but now I got 7. Okay, so I'm gonna just I have an order. I may jump around. I may need a pen to keep track of where I am. Because I have a horrible memory. Now, these questions are regarding the game you're currently working on.
So I'm working on...
I'm the interviewer. You just keep shutting up until I talk. Until I ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, dead air.
Hey, you told me to not talk.
No. I wasn't complaining. Mm-hmm.
All dead air is gonna be your fault.
Okay. Hold on, napping. Your game is called what?
I forgot. Can I speak?
Yeah. I asked you a question.
Young Lions.
Young Lions. Okay. What is Young Lions?
It's a 3-screen adventure game, a murder mystery where my original concept for the game was to have it so that there was minimal dialogue and no inventory whatsoever. So, looking around the environment would be what clues you get. The investigation is looking at the environment, it's basically observing. It kind of evolved from that a little bit, so there's a little bit more dialogue, because...
So the game tells you very little.
Yes.
The game itself, it doesn't come out and say, remember that he had a pen in his hand when he was walking to the store. It'll show you.
It'll give you aid. It'll give you points, and then you have to draw those points together. So if someone bought a pen, let's say a man named Jack bought a pen, mm-hmm. and then I want the player to know that Jack gave Anne a pen, the pen that he bought. I would simply say, Jack bought a pen, and then you would go talk to Anne, and then she would have the pen on her. Mm-hmm. So you could draw the conclusion, it would be the same pen. So you could draw the conclusion that Jack gave Anne the pen.
And these examples aren't in this game.
No. There is no Jack, there's no Anne.
Okay, I was just
And there explaining. Is no pen.
So that's your whole... You want to tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I should ask it in a sentence. Why? What's the point of this?
The story?
What is the point of you... not telling the player this stuff.
Of the story. Why do I do that?
Yeah. What is the point?
Because I want the player to draw those conclusions themselves. Because that's most of the fun.
Okay. As I was playing your game, I got to the point where there's a lot of information in the game to sort of absorb, and it's kind of when you first get into it, you got to read and everything, and like. Get to know the characters and put them all together, like figure out what happened. You know, put all the puzzles together.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of trying to remember the word. It's overwhelming at first. You know, as soon as you realize that when you get into it, you're like, okay, this puzzle is really like confusing. You know, who killed the victim, I have no idea, you know, and you don't give very many straightforward clues, you know, and I was just thinking, like, if I was playing Monkey Island, Adventures in Monkey Island, what was it called?
Secret of Monkey Island.
Secret of Monkey Island, that's it. If I was playing Secret of Monkey Island, and I had been playing it for 10 hours, and I know that I'm in the middle of the game or something, or however long the game. If it's the first time you don't have any walkthroughs, it's gonna take a long time.
Yeah.
But if I'm in the middle of the game and I reached a difficult puzzle like this, and I knew that there's going to be a lot more, like, it would be overwhelming to the point where I wouldn't want to play anymore. And it would be, I wouldn't even care. My mind would just shut off. I'd be like, eh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But because it's small, and because it's the only thing, you know what I mean? Because you know that once you solve this puzzle, you're going to win. You know, and it's going to be over.
Well, I don't...
It feels like this... It feels like... There's this... Okay. In Monkey Island, it feels like this hill. And once your brain goes through it all, you don't really... It's not going to be that big of a deal because you're gonna you have solved this puzzle, and then there's going to be another one. You know what I mean? And you feel like there's going to be this big slog of puzzles that... When you get through them, it's not going to... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But this feels like... Because
it's like
there's
a treadmill
of puzzles. It's a treadmill of puzzles. But because there's only one puzzle, like, you feel like when you beat this one puzzle, you're going to... It's going to be... The win... I don't even know how to say it. The victory feels better. You know what I mean? It feels like... Like, oh my god, when I win, it's gonna be fucking awesome. I mean, when I figure out who killed him, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
I think that's why it's more satisfying, is because in Secret of Monkey Island, they kind of have this thing where it's like, it's a puzzle, and then there's story, and then there's puzzle, and there's story. It's kind of built like a chain. And most of the puzzles are designed just kind of to be puzzles. Like, I'm sure they really had ideas for puzzles, and they had a lot of fun creating puzzles. But they kind of feel like puzzles just for the sake of it being a video game. But Young Lions, the puzzle is the story. And there's no story except... The whole reason there's even a story in the first place is to solve the puzzle, mm-hmm. You know?
That's another thing that it being short allows you. You know what I mean? Like, if you make a long game, there's no way you can make a story that complicated.
No.
You know what I mean? But...
Well, there'd be breaks. I mean, stuff like L.A. Noire, they had a lot of cases, and, you know...
Yeah, but with your story,
they're all
it's like every little bit of knowledge that you learn is important. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't, like...
Can't take anything for granted.
It's either important because you realize that that person didn't commit the murder, or you realize that this person might have... something to do with the murder. You know what I mean? So you as you're talking to people, it's awesome to be able to, oh yeah, he said this, so he's obviously not the murder. He's just...
It's important. It's important because you realize how unimportant what they just said was.
Exactly. Let me just read a question.
Let me take a bite.
Why is the game in black and white, and what does that get you? There's a question.
Sorry.
I just read it directly from the question.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention because you're reading it.
Oh.
Why is the game black and white?
Why is the game in black and white?
Are you talking like Flood, or are you talking like...
No, no, it's like, this isn't a... When I read it, it's...
Mario!
When I read it from the question thing, it's obviously not part of the conversation. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm a robot or something.
Like, and you're like, that is very interesting.
So tell me, why is it black and white?
So you and Natalie Portman. Why is it in black and white?
Yeah, why
I
did
don't know.
You don't know.
No, it's just it's a stylistic.
Stylistic.
It's a style,
huh?
It's a stylistic choice. Are you it's a stylistic choice. No, that's a good question. Cause someone, I mean,
no, 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 I'm not crossing it off because it was stupid. Oh, you asshole. No, I'm crossing it off because I just asked.
Well, you had a face when you did it. You're like, No, I made it black and white initially. Face. You always have a face. I made it black and white initially because, you know, I was like, oh, it's a noir movie. And also kind of because I was having trouble with colors. Mm. I'm not...
Oh, so you suck at colors. Why don't you explain? Okay, keep going.
I'm actually pretty good with colors.
Uh-huh.
If anybody would have seen Four Masters, if that game had actually gotten done, I'm actually pretty good with colors. But... I kind of wanted the game to pop, and, you know, I didn't realize, okay, so I've seen Sin City before, and I liked the movie, But I saw it a long time ago, and I kind of forgot about it as soon as I saw it. Because mm-hmm. it's kind of a forgettable movie. I mean, maybe not to most people, but I watched it, and I was like, it's fine. But it's black and white. And another thing I do in Young Lions is it's not just black and white, it also has bursts of red every once in a while. And I don't know if it's purely for stylistic choices in Sin City. Maybe you can help me. You probably remember the movie a little bit better than I do. But is it pure style that they make certain things red in Sin City, or are they important things? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
I don't think.
I remember thinking, is that red for a purpose? But then totally forgetting about it.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I remember that. I don't remember.
I don't think there's any kind of like symbolism for red things or anything. Like his tie was red. Why was his tie red? His
tie was red because he likes ties.
Oh. Well, the things that are red in Young Lions, not everything that's red in Young Lions is important. It's not like Mirror's Edge or something like that. Shit, Mirror's Edge does it too. I thought it was an original idea.
It wasn't original. That Nazi movie does it too. The one that's in black and white.
Schindler's List. That Nazi movie.
The Nazis.
That Nazi movie that you don't like. Let me interview. Hold on. Let me get to. So, why do you not like Schindler's List? I've never seen the movie before. I can't sit here as someone who likes it, but there's a reason why you don't like Schindler's List.
No, I don't like Schindler's List. Fucking nobody cares. Okay, so where were we?
Nobody likes Schindler's List.
So yeah, go Schindler's ahead. List. The only red thing is the girl or something. Her face is red.
She's got a balloon.
She's got a balloon. Is that it?
Or maybe that's the
red. Because that's what they were destroying. I don't know.
It represents so
if you kill a bunch of people, the only person that really matters is the kid. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
It's supposed to represent...
You're killing the innocent? What? They're all innocent! So as soon as somebody reaches, like, 20 years old, they don't care. It doesn't matter anymore?
No, she's just supposed to represent the collective innocence of the Jewish community in Germany at that time. She's not supposed to represent children. You son of a bitch. Well, I guess I like the movie now.
No, I didn't say I like the movie.
But Liam Neeson did it.
Yeah. Okay, so we kind of talked about it, but what is the game about? What's the story?
Like the actual story?
Yeah, story.
The story is about, it's a
murder
man
mystery.
In a bar who was murdered.
A man in a bar gets murdered.
And
the lead detective?
Harvey Jones.
Harvey Jones gets called in mm-hmm. to solve the murder.
It's his first, rookie investigator. It's his first case.
So they have detained everybody that was in the bar at the time.
Yep. And some people who are closely tied to the events.
So they brought everybody in.
Yeah.
And made them... Nobody can leave.
Real quick, I probably didn't mention this because her dialogue isn't in yet, but Lisa, the victim's fiance, she wasn't even there at the time of murder.
Oh, really?
Gone. Yeah.
You should say that.
I should. It's in her dialogue, but it's not. It's
okay,
not
yeah, make sure that's kind of an important thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about Harvey Jones.
Harvey Jones?
Yeah, where did he come from? Not in the story, but like you creating him.
Well, he was a character I came up with maybe like, 8 years? It was a really long time ago, and I've used him for various projects. I feel stupid talking to you and telling you about this, because you sound like you've been there since his inception.
I have been. But, part of it. But like, think of it this way, I like reveling in the story, because it's an enjoyable story for me. I kind of get to sit here and like, oh yeah, tell me.
You represent the viewers anyway, so I'm not going to sit here and talk to the phone.
Don't talk to the phone. Unless there's somebody on the phone. And then talk to it, but talk to me. Explain. Okay, so 8 years ago, Harvey Jones was accepted.
Yeah. I said burp as I burped. So I don't even remember what I originally made him for. I think it was a short story.
Yeah, you did originally invent him to write stories.
Called The Murder Express.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Murder Express.
Harvey Jones and The Murder Express. Now, we have to remember that. I was probably like 14... maybe 15 when I started writing this, which is a little too old to unironically call a story the Murder Express. But it was a humor short story. I would like to stress that.
It was a humor.
It wasn't story. Like I legitimately called the story. I can't even say it was unironic, because it was kind of ironic. Because it was supposed to be based off of the Orient Express, Murder on the Orient Express. And I thought Murder on the Orient Express, Murder Express, as like a, it still is kind of funny. And then there was like this whole thing. I remember I had a big moment when I was writing the story, and I came up to you, and I realized what the ending should be, because I had never written, I've been writing murder mysteries my entire life, basically, and that was the first one I'd ever tried to write, and I came up with this idea where instead of one person murdering him, everyone murdered him.
Had you read?
I read this plot synopsis at that point, and I think a movie. And I don't even remember what movie. There's a lot of movies based on that book.
What's the book?
I have
called again?
Murder on the Orient Express. I have read it now.
I have read it now.
It's all right.
It's all right.
I don't really like Agatha Christie novels, but that's another conversation. I mean, I guess it's probably as good as any form to talk about what murder mysteries I enjoy. But more Sherlock Holmesy.
That's funny that you start saying that, because that's a different question.
Well, hold on. Because I got a lot of stuff.
Okay, Let's keep going.
So I came up with the concept of everyone kills him. In Murder on the Orient Express, I believe... Oh, it's been a while since I read the book. I believe that is literally just the plot ripped off from Murder on the Orient Express. I mean, you know the story, right? At the end, Poirot, the detective, is Belgian detective.
Finds out that everybody kills him.
Finds out... Well, he has
spoilers.
Two theories. Yeah, by the
How
way, it's spoilers.
The book? 200 years old now?
It's 100.
It's 100 years old?
Maybe more than 100 at this point.
Okay, so if you haven't read it, then fuck you.
Yeah, basically.
Plus, it's a shitty book.
Yeah, well, it's okay. It's alright.
It's okay.
It's not bad.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's alright. It's
okay, but you stole the story. What was your joke again? How did it end?
I didn't have any twist on it.
You didn't have any... You just wrote that ending?
I literally stole it. This is my first short story. I stole the plot wholesale.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember reading it. I mean, I put some stupid stuff in there about how they're all part of, like, the same secret organization. And he was, like, smuggling... I don't know. This is stupid. I did have this one... I stole stuff from Paper Mario 2 as well. Because there was a chef on board who was really into cooking.
That. You were into that game.
Oh my god. The only reason I wrote that story was because of the train murder mystery.
Now that I'm thinking about it, just hit me. We have to devote a little bit of this time to talk about Conan.
That's the name of the show. Case closed.
Case closed.
Case closed, basically, along with Harold, gave me my love of jazz, as we discussed. But Conan was like, the first and only, I don't want to say only, because I like Dragon Ball, but the first, not even the first, because I like Dragon Ball Z when I was a kid, but it's the only anime.
I didn't mean to get into this depth. Just say, yeah, there's a detective anime.
There's an anime
that
I really like.
When you were a kid.
Side note, it's one of the only two animes I actually like these days. It was a basically
murder
mystery.
The other one's obviously Big O.
Have you seen Big O lately? It's not bad.
Okay, so...
Cowboy Bebop's alright too. Go ahead.
So...
You got ink all over your face.
Now, is it true that the name Harvey Jones... you got from the Weird Al Yankovic song, Harvey the Wonder Hamster?
It may or may not be true. It may or may not also be true that when I named him, I was watching Indiana Jones.
Oh, so you were listening to... The Weird Al song.
Oh, no, wait. No, it wasn't Indiana Jones. It was Nora Jones. I'm not joking about that. It's real.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Harvey.
I like Nora Jones.
Okay.
Do you have a question about that? Would you like to ask me about that?
No, I'd rather skip over it.
Okay.
Okay, this...
so anyway, real quick. Harvey Jones is really... I'd just like to get this out of the way, because that was your last question. Harvey Jones is a really important character to me.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to say that. So, he is an important character to you, and you've put him in a lot of projects, so there is a history built up around him.
I don't necessarily have a real character for him, though. Like, every time I write him, he's kind of different. Sometimes he's aloof and he doesn't know what he's doing. I actually do have like this kind of arc for him. Like right now, this is in Young Lions, he's a rookie investigator. He's a rookie detective. But in all the stories that I've written, he's a private investigator, and that's kind of like the latter part of his career. So, I mean, I guess I do have like sort of like a background for him, but nothing that shows up in Young Lions. So that's not really, it's not germane.
His character doesn't earn that. He's the detective.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of sassy.
Does he have lines?
Yeah, well, he has his, I mean, all the descriptions are in his words.
Oh, okay.
Some of them are jokey. Some of them, I mean, it's a real small space, so I couldn't put a lot of jokes in there. That's kind of the one thing, I mean, you're probably not going to ask a question about this, so I don't want to get this out there. I'm really more of a comedic writer. Like, when I write, the way I cover up what I can't
actually,
write very
that was
well.
My next question. Are you a comedic writer?
No. No, you didn't have any. So, the way I cover up, get your feet out of here. The way I cover up the problems I have with writing is that I write jokes. I like make fun of. I kind of like, it's kind of like self-deprecating humor, and stuff that like has jokes around what I would have had to write might have taken a while to write. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like lazy writing, basically.
That's the best kind of writing.
Yeah, it's what I like to read. Although
I enjoy reading it.
Hitchhiker's Guide is a funny book, but it's not lazy in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But
maybe you could say that it's really lazy.
Maybe. I guess the whole theme of those books is, like, bureaucratic laziness. But...
What? Don't do that. Okay, keep going.
I could go into it if you actually want me to.
That's another podcast. bureaucratic writing.
No, really.
Adam, what's his name?
Scott Adams.
Scott Adams.
Oh, no, wait, crap. Am I getting him mixed up with the Dilbert guy again?
Maybe.
Crap. No, hold on. I don't want to let this... No, I can't get... Adam...
Hold on, let me look it up.
Crap.
Vamp.
Hitchhiker's Guide is a really good book.
Okay, now I'll vamp.
I should have just done this because I have my phone right here.
The good job, vamp. You know what, just cut it here.
No, don't. Oh god. Bing time. Bing is basically the... Oh, wait, I just googled Bing. Bing is basically the thing that I use to... Bing is the thing. When Google doesn't work.
Yeah. I should have binged.
Should have banged?
I should have banged at...
Douglas Adams.
Thank
God. Wait. Scott, is that the Dilbert guy?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
You know what? Whatever.
There's also... there's also a Scott Adams text adventure writer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
I don't remember what he's written. I think he's done adventure.
Which is weird, because Douglas Adams actually wrote...
A text adventure.
Yeah. Two.
Which?
He wrote two of them.
Two of them?
Non-Hitchhiker's Guide related.
That's crazy.
That just sounded kind of cool.
I don't know if I'm correct or not. I don't remember... But somebody's... I remember something about somebody saying that they were really technically complex.
Scott Adams?
No, Doug Adams. That Hitchhiker's
the
text adventure, game? Yeah, was really, like, technically complex.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
I haven't played them. You have an inventory, no tea.
Yeah, that's complex, all right. Anyway, okay, here's the next question.
Look at you, gendulated.
Gendulated. What is it with you and rectangles?
I have no answer for that at this time. Okay, so when I asked you to write questions, that would trip me up. Does that have a meaning to it? Or is it simply
We were at work, and you kept bringing up what is a rectangle, or is a square a rectangle, or something.
Oh.
And I was like, it has
nothing
sure,
to do with the
whatever. I don't know why you kept asking that, though. And like, the next day,
I was
bored. Is a rhombus a rectangle?
I was trying to remember. Is it a quadrigram, a quadrilateral, or is it rectangle that simply means four sides? And I think we discussed it, and it's quadrilateral. Which maybe this should be saved for the other podcast we do where we discuss things that we don't really know.
Geometry. The Geometry Pod.
Yeah.
Geometry.
No, the podcast that we discussed. Where
Castometry.
The podcast we were talking about where we talk about things we don't really know about.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
And then the next podcast we... That's a sneak peek.
It is a sneak peek.
I mean, we basically just had the podcast right here.
Okay. What made you want to tell a detective story and frame it as a one puzzle game? Did you get it?
No, I don't know.
Because sometimes the robot is difficult to understand.
Robot?
Yes.
Could you rephrase the question?
No.
With an Irish accent, please. You're a robot, so you won't have an Irish accent. It's just kind of the same.
Okay, I'll try to do the best it can. What made you want to tell a story with a detective? Wait. Oh, shit, I messed up the joke.
It's okay.
Okay, no, just fucking answer the question.
Okay. Something about a detective. What made me want to tell a murder mystery? In an adventure game?
Yeah, why do you like detective stories so much?
You know,
And why do you want to make games so bad of them? Why do you want to make detective games?
I feel like nobody's made a detective game that is really, like, what I'm looking for. Yeah. Like, and when I tell people what kind of detective game I'm looking for, and they assume that, like, oh, L.A. Noire, right? Or, there's not even a lot of examples. There's an NES game that I can't remember the name of.
Portopia?
Oh, Portopia also. Yeah, Yuji Horii's game. That's kind of it. That's what I was going to base Picasso Faces off of. Whoops. But when I cite the game that I would most like to emulate when I make a detective game, it's Shenmue 2. And people go,
what? No, that's not a detective game.
But really, it's the most, like... It's not really a detective game, but it has the most of, like, a feeling of a detective, you know? It's like you're going around, and you're looking through drawers and stuff, and you're, like, talking to people, and... It's kind of just this open area for investigation. And it feels like L.A. Noire is not an open area for investigation. It's a very... You go here... You're going to talk to this person, and you handle situations in different ways, you know? And it becomes an adventure game when you are dealing with clues just to show people, you know? And those parts are cool, except when it gets a little difficult and obscure. At the early part of L.A. Noire, with the accusing and stuff like that, like, those parts are cool. And Phoenix Wright. That stuff's cool, too. But it's not exactly
what I mean, we've had a lot of conversations about this.
Yeah,
we continue to talk about L.A. Noire.
I hate L.A. Noire, by the way.
That game... It sets up... It gets excited... About being, like, a logistic... Like, a logic puzzle thing. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, it's like... Oh, get ready, because you're going to start thinking, and then as soon as it gets to it, it flips over, and you're shooting people. You know? And then the thing ends.
I think that sounds a little bit like someone who didn't actually play it, then glanced over at the TV every once in a while I was.
No, I mean, that's my big summation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, when
you
it really
can't
comes
tell
down
me
to
that
it,
that's not wrong.
When it really comes down to it, L.A. Noire falls back for conflict, for, like, real conflict. On fighting. It actually builds up the drama with the interrogation, and then the denouements are firefights and chases and stuff like that. But it's not how it should be at all. It should be firefights up to the interrogation.
I mean, we can say what it should be and what it can't be, but do you think they could have done that? Like, in the culture? Is that the word I'm looking for? In the society?
Climate.
Yeah, in the climate of today's culture, do you think they could...
In the economical climate of our society's culture...
Do you think they could have made a game that wasn't GTA? With more talking?
I mean, they could have.
I mean, they came really close. Do you think it would have been critically? Do you think it would have? Do you think? I don't even know. Like
common reviewers, like would Polygon have given it a good score?
Yeah.
Or would
do you think it'd be understood? Do you think it has a place? Do you think it has a place
among the hipster? Among the hipsters?
No, not anywhere. Do you think anybody would have enjoyed it? No. I have a better question. Fuck that question. Do you think that they could have made it enjoyable for that long? Go back to our little callback question. Do you think L.A. Noire would have been able to be made enjoyable without Nishida for that long?
For the same length that it is?
For the same length of time.
It's a really long game and they have a lot of firefights in there. Mm-hmm. So, probably not. Because, the firefights are basically padding. So, the only reason they put them in there is to make it longer.
Yeah.
So I think if they only made it with the interrogation stuff, then it would be, it might be like a downloadable game, which would be viable and be great. I think it'd be awesome if L.A. Noire was like, it turned into like I Am Alive.
So do you think that what L.A. Noire was is the only way that L.A. Noire could have been?
No, I don't think that. I think they could have done it better. I mean, Shenmue sold good when it came out.
Yeah, but you fight a lot in that. You know what I mean? There's fighting in that.
Yeah, but it's meaningful. It's not just... Well, I mean, in Shenmue 2. Shenmue 1 kind of had pointless fights. But most of the fights in Shenmue 2 kind of have a purpose,
yeah, well,
a story
LA purpose. Noire has a purpose.
Really, it's kind of just like, oh my god, they're in here!
Oh my god, do you see what we do? We start talking about L.A. Noire, and we talk about it. We just talk about it. Okay, drop L.A. Noire. Okay, inspiration. Was that the question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I wrote your question.
What was the current topic? Okay, L.A. Noire.
That was not my inspiration for Young Lions.
What was an inverse inspiration?
I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to... Shams maggle me.
So
you would say L.A. Noire...
No, you brought up L.A. Noire as a negative inspiration. I'm not trying to ramshackle you.
Yeah, I guess L.A. Noire would be an inspiration. Because it was so... shit that it inspired me to make a better game. I was trying to word it better than that, but... Case Closed and stuff like that was an inspiration. But also Double Indemnity. Double Indemnity was an inspiration. If I had watched The Big Sleep more recent or earlier than while actually working on Young Lions, then that would have been an inspiration.
Is that on Netflix?
I don't think so, but I have it, so you can watch it. Humphrey Bogart's character is pretty much exactly what I wanted Harvey to be, save for the experience. Humphrey Bogart's a little bit more weathered than I want Harvey to be in Young Lions. But
you know, it's kind of interesting. Where did you say Young Lions falls in on Harvey Jones' timeline?
It's basically right after he's like a cop and he's a rookie.
So early
detective.
In his detective.
Yeah.
It's interesting because that's where I see it. Like, really? I figured that before you told me.
You're probably the only person who's seen it then.
Well, because I'm the only one that knows about the timeline.
Also, it says right in his description that he's a rookie cop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why I thought it. I read it and subconsciously processed it and forgot it. Okay.
That's very flattering. Do you think people would get bored if I just maybe gave a quick stint on why I think Shenmue 2 was an inspiration for Young Lions?
I think I can put it together.
Yeah,
who killed his father.
I talked too much about that's not it. I didn't even, you know what? Shenmue's, I didn't even realize that. It kind of is a murder mystery. Although you know who killed him.
You're trying to find him, though.
Yeah.
You'd have to put
it's a murder mystery
together.
Where you know who killed your father and you're just trying to beat the ever-living shit out of him.
You gotta fight.
Okay.
Let me ask you a new question. That's sort of the opposite of the other one. If Young Lions was the length of L.A. Noire, do you think it would be enjoyable throughout?
That's actually what I was going to say about Secret of Monkey Island. But you cut me off.
Okay.
Son of a bitch. So it goes, Secret of Monkey Island goes from puzzle story to puzzle to story. But Young Lions kind of integrates it into the whole thing. So if I were to expand it out into, say, if I was going to expand it out and say a 5 or 10 hour game, it wouldn't be the same structure. There would be certain subtle things moving around. So there'd be a little bit more of a progression to it. Because Young Lions, there's no progression to it whatsoever. But I forgot, that's what this whole thing was for. This whole interview thing was supposed to explain what Young Lions is.
I'll be honest, I just lost you.
Fine.
No. What was that?
No, quiet.
What were you talking about again?
No. Dead air. Dead air.
Dead air.
Dead air, dead air, dead air.
What were you talking about again?
I don't even remember.
Yeah, because you fucking bored yourself.
No,
I was talking about inspiration. Or?
I was talking about. No, we were talking about if I could make Young Lions longer.
Oh yeah.
Would it be good? And I was saying that it would kind of be
question.
Different. Would
Do you think
a
that's
game.
A boring question?
Short answer: it would be a different game if I had to expand it out that far.
Okay. Yeah, I think you'd have to put in different things that you were doing. You have to modularize the puzzles a bit more, because like from. The interesting thing about Young Lions is that it's one puzzle. Like, every piece of text in the game is important to the one puzzle. Mm-hmm. It's like...
There's no, like, get this key so you can get this key.
Exactly. Like, and that's what's awesome about it, you know? If you had it longer and had more puzzles, then you'd have to... write a story that connected the puzzles, and then that story really wouldn't be involved in the puzzles. You know what I mean? The puzzles might be, like, sort of involved, but, like, they aren't really involved. You know, with one puzzle, it's like the point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I really like that idea.
There's kind of always an overarching, because when you're piecing things together, you're like, oh, I'm piecing something together over here, but it kind of adds to the overall.
Yeah.
I don't want to necessarily put down the idea of a longer game.
I am.
Because
I am
like
putting that down. I want short games. I want to be able to sit down, play a game in its entirety, and have it all be able to sit in my head and think about it.
But if it's longer, then you have more to think about and sort of piece together. I'm not even talking like 5 hours. I'm talking about like 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know?
That's too long for me. I want 30-second games.
Like, in the Picasso Faces design doc, and they're basically going to get everything there. But in the Picasso Faces design doc, I specifically say that, like, it's only going to be, like, an hour or 2 hours. Like, Portopia, if you just go through it, it's not really that long.
The thing about Portopia is that when it came out, there was a lot of shit in it. There's a lot of shit in Portopia. A lot of stuff that has nothing to do with anything. I mean, it all has to do with the thing, but, like, that's not what I meant to say. There's a lot of shit that's completely different. You know what I mean? Like, one second you're doing this, and then one second it flips around, and
you're doing like
going around in a dungeon. It's like, what?
But it's cool. I mean,
if you like doing one thing, if there's something that you enjoy doing, you know what I mean? Don't make a game that completely exhausts your fun of doing that.
But I don't
you know
think
I mean?
I think a
like,
longer
a lot
version
of, games,
of it would be no, because a lot of longer games. What you're talking about is like
a lot of games throwing mini games and you know like throwing up the types of thing that you're doing to try and keep games exciting for a longer period. You know what I mean? Why can't you just have a short game a short game that you don't exhaust all your fun, you know what I mean, in that one thing, you know? Why can't you have a short game that explores one aspect of it logically to its conclusion instead of you doing one little thing over and over and over and over and over again until it's, like, you're physically ill?
I mean, my original... I mean, I came up with this point a long time ago. It was when I first started playing KOTOR. KOTOR does that thing where it's not what you would traditionally consider filler, but it is filler because it's new content and there's new quests and stuff. But I mean, basically, it's you go to a planet and you have this one quest. You're like, I need to go get the staff of Arunga. So in order to get the staff of Arunga, you need to go talk to the leader of the encampment. And then in order to talk to the leader of the encampment, you need to get the guards to allow you to pass. But in order to let the guards allow you to pass, you need to get a card. In order to get a card, you need to talk to this guy who's like a shady guy. And in order to like pay him, you need to go to like gamble. And it's just this really long list of things that you need to do, and it's just so, it's not really, inherently, they might be fun, like, apart from each other, you know, abstracted away from each other, but because it's so far removed from your real goal, it's compounding, and it just frustrates, and it's getting so far away from what you actually want to be doing, which is furthering the story. I mean, really, in anything, what you want to be doing is furthering the story. The whole game is basically to stop you from furthering the story. You know what I mean? Like, games and movies and stuff like that. And, you know, games aren't all about story and stuff like that, but kind of... It's a story.
Everything is about a story.
Of some kind.
Yeah.
So, what a game is movies stop you from experiencing the story by making it 2 hours. Games stop you from experiencing the story by throwing obstacles at you. Like, that's what art is. You know what? We just figured out what the definition of art is. It's stopping the person from forwarding the story. I mean, this is what made me frustrated watching television. It's why I have trouble getting into television. It's because...
They dole out the...
They have a story in 30 seconds. It's like a meth addict. And you have them, like... You go to the...
You go to the rehab center. Week.
Yeah. And they try and slowly wean you off. It's like every television show. It's trying to slowly wean you off.
They're trying to wean you off the story.
but they give it to you in such doses where you never do.
Right. It's so like World of Warcraft.
Yeah. I mean, yes. World of Warcraft is further... is like holding the story back and trying to stop you. So, KOTOR does it so much, and it's so frustrating. KOTOR 2 doesn't really do that very much. And I think that's why Young Lions is so cool. It's because basically everything... in it. It's furthering the story in some way. So if I were to pad that out into like a 2-hour game, I would need to do some of it. But not a lot. But I think the key in making it interesting would be not doing that very much. Because it's a really lazy thing to do. And it's what frustrates me the most in games. And I think not doing that would be probably the most important thing to me. So
Ask the next question.
Real quick, the questions. Just real quick, I wanted to say why I wanted the controls the way they are.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about this, and what is the Monkey Island games that Telltale made?
Tales of Monkey Island.
The Tales of Monkey Island, they have it so that, and I think it's on the consoles, you can move around. I'm not entirely sure this is real. But I'm pretty sure you can move around with the control stick, and you can sort of look with the right control stick. So you have your guy, and then there's like a radius around you.
It's a first-person shooter.
No, it's you have your guy.
Yeah, I know.
It's a dual joystick shooter adventure game. You basically walk around and you point at things. I don't really know how you like look at. To tell you the truth, I don't have a lot of experience with the game. I played like 5 seconds of it because I got it for free. So the reason I wanted the control like that is because I thought the Tales of Monkey Island thing was nice because I feel like moving, like actually having a thing where you move your character is very important. It's not so much immersion. Like, I don't really buy into that word very much, but controlling your character kind of, it gives you a little bit more investment.
Right.
And maybe it is immersion, whatever. But it kind of makes you feel a little bit more part of the world. I think it stops people, or rather than making you feel more part of the world, it just doesn't have the dissonance that clicking on a screen does.
Yeah.
You know, rather than being more, it's not less. That makes sense.
Yes.
So that's why I wanted the control scheme the way it is. So you move left and right, and you hit A and stuff like that. So it's not a
hold
point click. You hold A. And
hold A.
Space 2 keys. Because I wanted it to be. Basically an adventure game, but I wanted it to be more clear than L.A. Noire, but less complicated than Secret Monkey Island. So it, the controls kind of fall in the middle there.
You wanted it to be deeper.
Than L.A. Noire.
Both. You wanted it to be deeper than both. But
well, no, Secret Monkey Island is deep because you have a lot more range of where stuff is. And there's a lot more, you can put a lot more items in. Complicated stuff, you have an inventory, there's no inventory in Young Lions, that was for a specific purpose. You don't need to be combining things or showing it to people. There's a very, very specific reason for that, because I wanted you to, it's not really the theme, because I didn't think about it that much, but the theme of the game part is observance, is observation, is observing things, and piecing together in your mind. So, that's kind of like the point of the controls. Because I feel like an inventory kind of muddies that up a little bit. Also, it would be really complicated to program. I'm not a good programmer.
Yeah, we should point out that Nick did most of the programming completely by himself.
That's a point to... Well,
I think I only helped you with some debugging, right?
No, just with more... Well, some of the debugging and some of the complicated things to program. Yeah. Stuff that I didn't really know. Stuff that I know how to do now. But I am not a good programmer. So my next game will probably have to help me with some stuff too.
Yeah.
But I did all the art. And I did all the writing.
And I did nothing but fart.
That was good. No, that's good. Don't be so hard on yourself, bro.
Okay, final question.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is there no shooting or jumping? Couldn't you put in a scene where you maul the suspects down? And then jump over the bodies? Huh? Huh? Well?
I never thought about that before.
I want a scene where you can shoot everybody in the head, see the blood splattered all over the place, vomit.
He is a he is a detective.
And then sit there and jump around. I don't want the space bar to accuse.
No?
That's why I was hinting at you to change the accuse, but...
To A?
I want it to...
You
want
to do space to shoot?
I want space to jump.
Space to jump and then what's shoot?
Left click. No. I want you to point the arrow, the mouse, and just sitting there.
I do that thing where it automatically checks where the mouse is compared to Harvey, so he kind of moves the gun around.
Yeah, he points his gun at the mouse.
Have I ever said that's like one of my least favorite? Some people get it looking good, right? Like Cortex Command. But most people just have the arms just. Just waving about.
I think a lot of people complain about indie platformers, but
I'm gonna complain about flash
the
shooters.
Video game genre that is overdone is you walking around with WASD and shooting towards the mouse.
I remember the first time I played one of those games though; it was like super fun.
Yeah,
it was like, oh my god, this is amazing, and then.
As a control scheme, let's pause this for a second. Let's go ahead and talk about this game, this kind of game. I think as a control scheme, it kind of sucks, though. Because your mouse is over here, and there's a dude over there on the opposite side of you. This is I'll pause that to describe it. Like, your mouse is on this side of the screen.
On the left side.
And on your left side, there's a dude, and you're like, oh my god. I know, I'm talking. Shut up. And on your left side, and you're like, oh my god, I gotta get my mouse over there. And she's like... And all of a sudden, it bugs out.
How big is your screen where you need to lift the mouse up and put it back in?
It doesn't make any sense. You're like, that motion doesn't feel like anything. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like, okay, I gotta point my mouse over there. It doesn't, like...
There's no friction to it.
Well, there's no friction to it. Yeah, so, like... I don't even know how to... I'm gonna use immersion.
Wow.
No, I'm not gonna do
it.
I'm not gonna do it.
Don't go there.
I don't know how to say this, but it doesn't put you in that in the character that you're trying to play. You know what I mean?
I'm not following that.
Especially if you have a buggy mouse. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so you'll whip your mouse
over. Did you ever
play one
of those games and then
your mouse bugs out? Ooh.
I did that so much.
Okay.
That's why Newgrounds wants flash games.
So the dude's like behind you. So the dude's behind you and you flip your mouse over and the mouse isn't pointed at him. It's pointed up a little bit. And you're like, oh my god. So then you move your mouse down And you're pointing at them, but it's like, that movement doesn't correspond to what you're seeing on the screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't like it because of that. It feels wrong. Hotline Hotline Miami, like, is a good game, but the controls kind of whack.
I don't know, I mean, there was parts in Hotline Miami where I was like, oh man, I moved my mouse around and it was just an inch off.
Yeah, I think a lot of the issues come from...
But that could have happened... That could have been the same thing in, like, a third-person shooter or a third-person shooter.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of the deaths that I have in Hotline Miami are because of just little issues that I'm having with the moose.
I don't know if there's actually a problem with those kind of games. I think you're just being an old grump.
I think I am being a turd.
I mean, there's nothing... there's no real verbs to them. It's not really an interesting... I'm going to say nobody make those games. I'm not going to say nobody make those games, because I think they can make fun, little, stupid games. That's a very backhanded compliment.
I think people... try to make something else.
Yeah, I mean...
try to do something.
Try and different. Try and figure out what the soul of the game that you want to make is, and then make the control scheme around that. Like, Young Lions...
I don't think that's a really good process as to how to come up with something creative. But... yeah.
I mean, Young Lions, the control scheme, no game looks or controls like that. And it's all because of... it's very, very
nobody has
reasons.
Left be move left, and nobody has right as move right.
Are you done?
Yes, I am.
Are you done with your point?
Yes.
My point is that nobody has the move left and left and right for the arrow keys, because who does that? That's crazy. Most of the time, when you go over a piece of pie in a game and you want to look up, you want to look at a close-up version of it, what button do you hit? You don't hit A. What button do you even hit?
Like, I'm just saying
the game
you
want to make.
The dialogue boxes work is you hold the button down, and it shows. Well, as long as you're holding the button down, it's showing up, and when you let it go, it goes away. So it's not hit the button, hit the button, hit the button. I mean, I think it does have an issue, because, like, as I was playing the game for a long time, my finger got really tired.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm going to admit there's issues.
So a game as long as L.A. Noire would have an issue, you'd be holding that button down for a long time.
It'd basically be like in Super Mario 3D Land, I'm holding my button on the R, on the run button, basically the whole time. So by the time I'm done playing it, I just have this R button imprint on my index finger.
That'd be really funny. Like, it's not even imprinted on the key, it's in ink, but it still imprints on your finger for some reason. Okay, I think that was
you
my last...
You got one more question.
That was it.
What was the question?
Why isn't there any shooting or jumping?
Oh, right. Great, the last question was a joke question. Do you have anything more?
No, it was funny, but we got into all the whole controls.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about the game?
It has good music.
It does have really good music. And it has really good sound effects, too.
I don't remember the name. That exists right now.
Soon.
They exist right now.
Soon.
I don't remember the name of the guy who uploaded that jazz drum track. But he's thanked in the thanks that I have. In the info, the readme. But thank you. Because that thing's awesome. It's an awesome little drum track. That loops perfectly, and was really fun to play too, and that's cool. That's my favorite. That's probably my favorite piece of music that I've done for any of the games I've made so far. Tony, do you want to tell me anything about our upcoming game Lyra? How's the progress on that game going?
Let me see. I've just reprogrammed the audio like two or three times.
You've also just designed a level.
Oh, I've done fun stuff too. Yeah, I've the second world that has had no tie with the overall story and hasn't had any kind of interesting look to it or anything interesting happen. It's just been sort of a tunnel. It now has more to do with the actual story than most of the other levels. Lyra is coming along, and it's closer than ever to being finished.
It's getting better all the time. You have to admit.
It's getting better all the time. So, I think with that,
because
I don't have anything else to say. Nick doesn't have anything else to say.
Me either.
Okay, with that then, over, was this Overcast?
This was,
is it Overcast? I should have said.
Hey, this Overcast is over.
So, this is.